You'll continue to heal his body. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you for that today, and we praise you. So Lord, we're thankful for each person that's in this room. And as we look at your word this morning, I pray that God, that you will just open your word, that our hearts would be receptive to receive from you today what you have for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you know, we've been on the last several weeks on a series on the Beatitudes, on the Sermon on the Mount. So if you have your Bible this morning, if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verse 5 this week. But it's interesting as we talk and as we go through these things, and when Jesus began to teach and whenever he began to share the Sermon on the Mount, I love it whenever he says, blessed are those. And I don't know about you this morning, but I want to be blessed of God. Do you want to be blessed of God today? You know, and I think it's important for us to know that God is very desirous that we have his blessing, we have his grace, whether we deserve it or not. You realize that. And I'm thankful for God's grace today. But as Jesus began to start his ministry, and we've talked about that over these past few weeks, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, it says this, now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, and that's what we're going to talk about today, for they will inherit the earth. So I think it's a really important thing, and we've been kind of breaking this down verse by verse and talking about this over the past several weeks. And so as we continue this morning in our study through the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to be looking at one of the most misunderstood of all the Beatitudes, and that's the attitude of meekness. You know, when we were here earlier this morning, and we have a smaller crowd in our early service, and I asked them, what are the characteristics, or what does it look like somebody that's meek? And here's what they said: somebody that's caring, somebody that's kind, somebody that's submissive, somebody that's obedient. You know, there was just a lot of different things that people shared and characteristics of what meekness was and what they talked about. But I really believe that on this particular day when Jesus sat down and began to teach this crowd, that they were probably shocked when Jesus began to say what he said, because it went totally against what the religious thought was of the day, because we know that the nation of Israel was in bondage, that Rome was governing over them, and they were wanting to be on their own, and there was a lot of things. And when all of a sudden, you know, Jesus begins to tell them that the only way to inherit the land was to become meek. And these people are probably thinking, well, the only way that we're gonna make this is if we overthrow Rome, and it's not by being meek. And can I just say, it's basically the same thing today, isn't it? Because when we talk about meekness today, what's the first thing that people think about? They think about weak. You know, that's exactly what they think about. When was the last time when you heard somebody walk up and go, well, men, well, ladies, if you're gonna be great and you're gonna do great things, then you need to be meek. Doesn't happen, does it? In fact, the world's philosophy today is perfectly opposite of that. The world says that the more assertive you are, the more success that you're going to have. So I really believe that these words of Jesus ran not only contrary to the teaching of the day, but it still runs contrary to the teaching of our day. When we think of what Jesus said about being about the meek inheriting the earth, it sounds ridiculous, because the word meek has lost really its true meaning in our world today. Today, it's simply used as a slur. It's the same thing as calling somebody weak or spineless. And we hear sometimes people say, oh, they're as meek as a mouse. But friends, really, meekness, and when we look at this study that we've been on, is actually a byproduct of these first two Beatitudes that we talked about. Because someone who is poor in spirit, who is mourning over their sinful condition, is a byproduct of what meekness is all about. It simply is that we realize that we are fully dependent on who Christ is, that we're fully dependent on who the Lord is in our lives. So our poverty of spirit that we talked about last week causes us to see our own unworthiness before God. Now, there's a lot of times, and you guys have heard this just like I have over the years, people say something about somebody that's been very successful, and they go, well, he's a self-made man, you know? Well, can I just tell you, without God's help, you can't do anything, you know? And I said this morning, even people that are unbelievers, even people that don't know Christ, if they follow godly principles, God will bless them. It's true. Some people don't like that. But that's why people that are wealthy, that give to the poor, that's why people that follow those principles, even though they don't recognize them as godly principles, God will bless those people, you know, as they give and as they continue to do that. But our poverty of spirit causes us to understand our unworthiness before God. By being poor in spirit, then we're able to see that we are totally dependent upon God and His grace. And as we talked a couple of weeks ago, and I liked one definition that a guy gave, and he said it this way: it is being privileged recipients of God's divine favor. That's what it's about. It's being a privileged recipient of God's divine favor. That's what it is to be blessed. I'll take it. Will you? I think all of us want that. Amen. So as we begin to mourn over the loss and the sinful condition of our world and of our own lives, this is really what produces godly sorrow that leads to repentance and a receptive heart before God. This is what brings out true meekness in a person. So what is it? And we're going to talk about meekness this morning, but let me just begin by saying this morning, that meekness is not weakness, okay? It is not weakness. The Bible only calls two men meek in the scripture. One of them was Moses and the other one was Jesus. And can I just tell you that neither one of them were pushovers, okay? And we see that clearly from scripture. So what's meekness all about? Well, here's a good definition of what meekness is. Meekness is strength under control. It's strength under control. In the Greek, it refers to a wild horse that's been tamed or a medicine that tames a raging fever. Someone who is meek is then someone who has great strength under restraint. I think that's a cool deal. Dwayne, you just got some amazing arms on you. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean to put it. No, not me. Jeez, Gretchen's just like, you? No, not me. I don't want to get us confused. He's DW, I'm DU. Okay. He comes in on Wednesday night, sometimes he's wearing tank tops, and I'm just like, oh my goodness gracious. But here's the deal, you know. He could pinch my head off. But I don't know if any of you saw it right here at the front a while ago. He hugged me. Thank you, Dwayne, for just hugging me and not squeezing too hard. It's strength under restraint. You know, strength under restraint. Let's look at Moses for just a second. In Numbers 12:3, it says, Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. But can I tell you something about Moses that I think is interesting? Is Moses never compromised God's principles of righteousness, nor did he compromise with evil. Instead, he was meek because he was sensitive to the will of God. And one of the things that I want to encourage you this morning is this, is to be meek means that we're sensitive to the will of God in our lives. Now, we know this morning, and if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in this room this morning, and you've made a commitment to Christ, the Bible says that when we accept Jesus, we accept the full Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit, every day in our lives as we follow the Lord, is desirous to encourage us. He's there to help us in our walk with the Lord. He's there to put us back on the right track when we start getting off the track. He brings us back and he corrects us. But friends, can I just tell you that we have to listen to what he says? Because many times the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us. Many times the Holy Spirit's talking to us and we're not paying attention. And that's detrimental to our own experience. But Moses never compromised God's principles of righteousness. When we look at Jesus, here's what Jesus said in Matthew 11:29. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Yet it was interesting because we think about Jesus, and can I just tell you that, you know, Jesus was a man who had convictions. Jesus knew who he was, and Jesus wasn't meek. I mean, there was a time when there were money changers in the temple, and what did Jesus do? He made a whip, and he went in, and he drove them out. You know, and we look at that and we think, well, there was a reason that happened, because those people were taking God's temple and they were turning it into something that it wasn't supposed to be. He said, you've taken and you've made a den of thieves out of what was supposed to be a house of prayer. And so Jesus, you know, does these things. But when we look at it and we see that Jesus was meek toward his heavenly Father, And we know that whenever he prayed, he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done in Luke 22:41. So meekness, when we see in the life of Moses and Jesus, was strength under control, which means that meekness is an attitude of the heart. Meekness is an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of submission to God. It describes someone who is crushed and mourns over their own brokenness of sin, and they gladly submit to God, acknowledging their indebtedness to him. When I was a kid, we used to sing this song, and it kind of went like this. I'm not going to sing it to you, but the words of it went like this. He paid the debt I did not owe, or he paid the debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Friends, he took our sin upon him and died on a cross for us this morning and gave us redemption. So it's important that we understand and we submit and acknowledge our indebtedness to who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But if meekness is strength under control, then how is meekness defined by our actions? And that's what I asked the early service this morning. How is meekness defined by our actions? And they said that. It's by being submissive. It's by being obedient. It's being nice to people and these different things that they brought up. But I've got some definitions this morning that I think will define our actions that I think are important for us. And the first one this morning is this, is that meekness is being gentle, not judgmental. Meekness is being gentle, not judgmental. Now, I don't have to go very far down the street and talk to people that are not church people. And if you ask them why they don't go to church, can I tell you one of the number one reasons why people don't go to church? Because they say, the only thing that happens there is people judge you. Now, friends, listen. If that's the attitude of your heart, stop it right now. Okay? I'm just going to just be blunt about it today. I'm just telling you this morning, you're no better than anybody else in this community. You're no better than anybody else sitting in this room this morning, whether they're believers or non-believers. Okay? And we look at it so many times, and a meek person is someone who, instead of ripping someone else apart, they're gentle and understanding, gently leading those who are young in their faith. In Romans 14:1, it says this, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. See, when someone blows it, instead of saying, I told you so, you gently restore them to spiritual health. If not, then you may be falling into the sin of pride and of a judgmental spirit. And in Galatians, the Apostle Paul said this in Galatians 6:1. He says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Friends, listen, one of the things that drives me crazy is when people think other people are being judgmental. How many of you know when you give your heart to Jesus, and I can just tell you this, that when you're a sinner before you know Jesus, you can be a great sinner. Okay? And when you make a commitment to Jesus, there's an instantaneous change that happens on the inside. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, if any man, if any woman be in Christ, they are a new creation, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. That happens on the inside. Now, what's unfortunate is this, is when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we've been good sinners, it takes a while for this outside to conform to the image of Jesus. And that's why we need each other. And that's why we can't be judgmental of each other. It reminds me of a story of a guy that was known in his community as a big drinker, and you know, he is at the tavern, he is at the bar all the time, and there was this old widow lady that was in a church that was a gossip, and every church has them, and so anyways, this guy comes, he walks the altar, gets saved on a Sunday morning, and a few days later, you know, this widow lady comes in and she says, you know what, I saw his pickup sitting in front of the bar last night. And so everybody was talking about it, and everybody was, you know. And so the guy got wind of it, so the next night he parked his truck in front of her house. Can I just tell people are going to blow it? Aren't you thankful for God's grace? Aren't you thankful that we're not perfect today? We're forgiven. You know, so what we do is we gently help people. And I think that's why, you know, and it's so important for us to understand. There are people that I know that have given their heart to Jesus Christ, and you know what? They dove in, and I mean, they couldn't get enough of who God was and different things. And there are other people that kind of wade in. You know, they kind of wade in. They want to check things out. There are people that come to church, and probably people that are in here in this room this morning, because I don't know everybody in this room this morning, that come to church, and you know what? They want to check things out. And I'm glad that they do. They're here and they want to see how they're received by other people. They want to see if they're going to be judged. They want to see the reaction of people when they walk in the door. These are all things because they want to be accepted. And can I just tell you, there's three things that every person in this room and every person in this world needs, and that is love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Every person needs it. You know, and there are people that I've known in my life that have sat in church for month after month after month that have never made a commitment to Jesus Christ because they wanted to see what it was all about first. They're waiters, and it's okay that they're waiters. If you're a waiter, it's okay that you're a waiter. If you're a diver, it's okay that you're a diver. You know, we just need to be gentle with each other, and we need to help one another and come alongside of each other, and instead of being judgmental toward one another, the one thing that angered Jesus more than anything else was the self-righteous attitude of the Jewish leaders, as they always seemed to be judging others rather than sitting in judgment of themselves and their own hypocrisy. Now, friends, listen, we need to know that none of us are good, no, not one, the scripture says, that we all need Jesus, and none of us are better than the others. And if you've been a Christian for a long time and you've served the Lord for a long time, I'm happy for you, and I'm thankful. But friends, listen, we've always got people that are around us that are just starting out in their relationship with Jesus, and we need to be patient with them, and we need to love them, and we need to let them know that we're with them, and we're there to help, and that we're there to see them grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And when they blow it, you know what we do? We love them. We just keep loving them. The second thing that we know about meekness is this, is that meekness is being tender without surrender. Well, what does that mean? Being tender without surrender. We can't please everybody in this life. Can I just tell you, I can't please all of you folks. Sorry. You know what I'm saying? I can't please everybody. Listen, you know, over the years, it's kind of funny because years ago, I was a union floor covering installer, and I knew carpet really well. And I used to have a good rug on my head. And And over the years, my wife reminds me that my nap is not as good anymore. And so, you know, I thought to myself, you know, if I cut my hair short, if I start going bald, then it'll be short anyways, and nobody will notice that all of a sudden pastor's bald. Amen. So that's why I keep cutting my hair shorter and shorter and shorter, just so you know. Now the secret's out, okay? So anyways, I was wearing my hair pretty short, and so one day I get this wild hair that I think, you know, maybe I should put a little gel on my hair. So I put a little gel on my hair, because you probably notice, I've been your pastor for 15 years, I don't ever comb my hair, I hate to comb my hair. I get out of the shower in the morning and I go, and that's it for the rest of the day, okay? There's a reason that I do that, because when I was a kid growing up, I didn't want evangelist hair. You know evangelist hair, those ones that go back like that? God knows those people when he creates them. He goes, evangelist, 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 evangelist. They have those great big chiclet white teeth, you know, and they just. And I love evangelists, so don't misunderstand me, okay? I cannot believe that slipped out of my thought bubble this morning. And it's not that I'm trying to go against the grain, I just needed to be me. You know, God doesn't want me to be anybody else, he wants me to be me. It's the same way with you, he doesn't want you to be anybody else, he wants you just to be you. I needed to be comfortable with yourself, and you need to be comfortable in your own skin. Wow, why did I say that? We were talking about something. What was I talking about? See, I just lost my mind. Oh, yeah, of other people's opinion to you. Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. He always keeps me back on track. Oh, yeah, I said this. I can't please all of you. And I was telling you this story about this, and I got to finish it now because I started it. So I put that gel in my hair, right? And the first morning that I wore this gel in my hair, this lady comes up to me and says, you need to quit using that gel in your hair. And I said, really? And she goes, yeah. And I go, why? And she goes, because the way that those spotlights shine on your head, it looks like you have a bald spot on the back of your head. And I looked at her and I said, I've got news for you. I do have a bald spot on the back of my head. That's why I'm putting gel on it and kind of covering it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I know this. If I start wearing a toupee, I'm going to wear a chin strap with it, okay? So we're just clear on it. Okay, good. Because the wind blows in Central Oregon. I'm telling you what's going on here. I've gotten clear off track. I am so sorry. Okay. So you need to know. Now let's get serious again here. But you need to know you can't please everybody. Okay, we just need to know it. We can't please everybody. But here's one test of really what our spiritual maturity is. Now hear me this morning. One of the tests of our spiritual maturity is this, is how we handle disagreeable people. It's how do we handle disagreeable people? You know those people that irritate you? You know those people who contradict you every time that you turn around? You know those who like to argue? You know, I know people like that, and they think it's in the Bible. You know, they think it's listed under the spiritual gifts. They think it's called the gift of stirring the pot, okay? And friends, listen, that's not a gift. And there are some people that just think to stir the pot and to always keep things stirred up that it's good. And I'm just telling you, stop it if that's who you are, okay? I'm just telling you, okay, that we need to quit it. See, we can't please every person, but here's what we know this morning of that test of our spiritual maturity is that how we confront others or how we handle people that are disagreeable, because all of us this morning have three different alternatives when it comes to confrontation. We can either retreat in fear from it, we can either get fearful and run away from it, or what most people do is they get angry and they attack the person, or we could respond in love. We could respond in love. See, meekness will always respond in love without compromising their convictions. Now, hear that this morning. Meekness responds in love without compromising their convictions. We can be tender without surrender. Meekness is not passivity, nor is it giving in. It's not reacting in anger or blowing others away with our spiritual superiority. We need to look at God's wisdom regarding and responding to those who disagree with us. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath. It turns away wrath. When someone has an argumentative spirit, it indicates an ego or a pride problem. But don't tell them that. But Jesus says in this beatitude, he says that a meek person is blessed because they can be tender without surrender. They can be tender without surrender. Meekness is being able to disagree with somebody agreeably. Friends, listen, not everybody agrees with me. That's okay. I'm okay with that. You know, and we have to understand that. You know, we have to understand that not everybody's going to agree with this. And friends, listen, when it comes to the scripture, everybody's got their own interpretation. Everybody's got this. But the Bible says this, study to show yourselves approved unto men, workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants us to rightly divide his word. Okay? All of us. He wants us to rightly divide his word. So it doesn't mean that we're going to agree with everybody, but meekness is being able to walk hand in hand even with those that we don't see eye to eye with. Even though we don't see eye to eye with them. So when others disagree, we can be passive and run, we can be aggressive and fight, or we can respond in love without compromising our beliefs. Now let me just tell you this. I get invited to go to a lot of places. And when I get invited to go to places, sometimes I walk in and there's things going on there that I don't participate in. Okay? In other words, I'm not going to compromise my convictions, but I don't go in there and just go, wow, look at you guys. You bunch of dirty sinners. I don't do that. You know what I do? I go in there and I love on those people. Because they need love. And friends, can I just tell you, and I'm not giving you license to go be in places that you know you're not supposed to be. But what I am saying is if you happen to find yourself in a place that you're uncomfortable with, doesn't mean that you have to compromise your convictions there. Just love the Lord and be you and love people. See, we don't have to judge them. We don't have to do that. The Apostle Paul gives meekness as one of the qualifications for spiritual leadership. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, it says this, "And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition." See, spiritual leaders are not argumentative. They instead gently instruct and believe that it's the Lord who changes a person's heart, not them. And friends, it's true. I can't change anybody's heart. You can't change anybody's heart. But God can. And see, when we pray and when we believe and we just love people for who they are, God does a work in them that is unbelievable. See, we just need to love people. The third thing is this, is that meekness is being teachable, not unreachable. It's being teachable, not unreachable. Meekness is a teachable spirit. Meek people are eager to learn. Meek people don't have to have all the answers. Have you ever talked to people like that? Now listen, people come to me all the time and they say, "Pastor, I need some advice." And the first thing that I tell them is I'm horrible at giving advice. I am not a good advice giver. If you want me to pray with you, I know how to pray, you know, but I'm a horrible advice giver. But they'll come and they'll say things and, you know, and I'll pray with them and I say, "Well, have you thought about this and have you thought about that?" "Well, yeah, you know, and well, how, yeah. And, you know, you can't tell them anything because they know everything. You have people like that? I'm just telling you right now, you might as well use your breath for blowing hot coffee, okay? Because that's about as good as it's going to do. Friends, listen, I'm just telling you that when people are asking you and they don't want to listen to you, you just need to stop, you know? Find a good cup of coffee in a Snickers bar. Here's what James said in James 1:19. It says, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." In this verse, it tells us to keep our temper under control, which is the meaning of meekness. It's power under control. If we're quick to listen and a whole lot lower to speak, or slower, and a lot slower to open our mouths, then our tempers will never be an issue. I'm just telling you that. I really believe, and I heard this somewhere a long time ago, that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth, because he wants us to listen twice as much as we speak. It's a good point, okay? See, we need to use our ears a whole lot more than our mouths, which may be why God challenges us in these areas. So let me ask you this question, and can I just tell you, when I share this with you on Sunday, I'm always preaching this to me a couple of weeks before it gets to you. I have to ask myself these same questions, and I ask them hard this week. How are you in the area of change? You know, it's a good question, isn't it? How are you in the area of change? Can I just tell you, we have absolutely changed the whole inside of the sanctuary over the last few months. So, if you're upset about it, talk to one of the board members, okay? No, don't. Talk to me. You're fine talking to me. Here's another question that we have to ask ourselves. Are you more open or closed to new ideas? Because, friends, it's not just at church. It's everywhere. It's on your job. You know, it's in your home. Things are constantly changing around us all the time. You know, and we have to look at it and we have to ask ourselves, am I able to adapt to all the changes without compromising my convictions? You know, that's what we have to do. Am I able to adapt to the changes that are being made without compromising my moral convictions, my spiritual convictions? We have to ask ourselves those questions. Are you open or closed to change? Or do you say, this is the way it's always been done? Reminds me of the girl that watched her mom forever whenever they would have Thanksgiving dinner. They always had a big ham. And every time they had the big ham, her mom would take the ham and cut it in half and stick it in two pans and put it in the oven. And finally, she's in high school and she says to her mom, "Mom, can I ask you a question?" She says, "Yeah." She goes, "Why do you cut the ham in half and stick it in two pans and put it in the oven?" And she goes, "Because grandma always did it that way." Well, grandma comes for Thanksgiving dinner. And the girl says, "Grandma, I have a question for you." And she goes, "What?" She goes, "I've watched mom do this my whole life. She said she learned it from you." She goes, "What?" She goes, "Every time mom gets the ham for Thanksgiving, she cuts it in half, puts it in two pans, and sticks it in the oven. And she said, you did that. Why?" And she goes, "Because I didn't have a big enough pan." can I just tell you that some of the things that we keep doing are dumb? I'm just telling you, get a bigger pan, okay? Just get a bigger pan. A meek person is teachable, not unreachable. Here's what it says in Proverbs 13:18. He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. One person said it this way, I'd rather change my mind and succeed than to have my own way and fail. It's a good point, isn't it? And then lastly is this, that meekness is acting, not reacting. It's acting, not reacting. A meek person takes the initiative. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans chapter 12, verse 17 and 21. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's a good point, isn't it? If we'd keep that. Here's what I know about life, that everybody's going to get hurt. And if you haven't, get ready. You know, I mean, there's always somebody that's got the spirit of dumb that says something or does something that's going to offend you or hurt your feelings. But can I just tell you what meekness is? Meekness involves how we're going to respond to that hurt. It's going to show us how to respond to that hurt because our natural desire is to retaliate and get even with people. And that's not what the Lord wants. To retaliate is to react. But when we respond with forgiveness and we take the initiative, it changes everything. There's a story I read about not too long ago about these two guys are walking down the street. And every morning, this guy would stop and he would buy a newspaper. And as they're walking down the street one morning, this guy stops to buy a newspaper. And the guy selling the newspapers is as rude as can be, doesn't have a nice word to say and one thing or another. The guy hands him his money, gets the newspaper, and the guy looks at him and says, have a nice day. And his friend said, why do you keep going back there and why do you do that? You know, when you tell the guy to have a nice day when he's treated you like that. And here's what the guy said. He says, I'm not going to let one man ruin my whole day. And friends, can I tell you, it happens. You know what? Just as that one person that can ruin your whole day, if you harbor it, if you hold on to it, if you don't take the challenge that we have. Booker T. Washington, who faced prejudice his whole life, said this. He said, I will never allow another man to control or ruin my life by making me hate him. It's a good point, isn't it? Friends, listen. The Bible says this, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can have joy even in the midst of hurt. We can have joy even in the midst of sorrow. We can have joy in the midst of all these things. See, when we think about Moses, his own family criticized him for marrying this woman named Zipporah. They didn't approve of his marriage, so they challenged Moses' leadership. And what did Moses do? He didn't say anything to defend himself, but God defended him. Next thing you know, his sister's arm had leprosy all over it. You know, and you know what Moses did? God, take it away. Not her arm, the leprosy. Lord, heal her. And God did. But isn't Moses an amazing guy? I mean, you follow Moses and the life of Moses, and I mean the people, you know, those, they'd be out on the wilderness and the desert and stuff, and they'd do dumb things, and Moses would say, God, just kill them all. They don't, you know, and then God says, all right, I'm going to kill them all. And Moses is like, no. You know, don't do that. Meekness is the ability to handle hurt without retaliation. Here's what Proverbs says in Proverbs 16:23. It says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his own spirit more than he who can take a whole city. You know, that's a great statement. My son, when he was three, he's 33 now, but Gretchen's always been a seamstress. She likes to sew and quilt and do all that stuff. And I remember she was quilting and doing some stuff one day, and Colby had these scissors. He's probably 2 or 3 years old, and he had these scissors, and every smart mom always gives her kids scissors that don't cut anything. Well, Colby's here. I didn't even see you sitting there. Now I'm telling the story about you. Now I'm going to owe you money. Shoot. So anyways, he's trying to cut this, and he's all just, and he's all agitated, one thing another, and Gretchen quotes him the scripture, and she says, honey, listen to what the Bible says. She says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is greater than one who can take a whole city. And Colby goes, I don't want a whole city. I just want these dumb things to cut, you know? And that's what happens in life when we're going through stuff right now. We just want it dealt with right now. You know, we just want it done now. See, the meekness is the ability to handle hurt without retaliation. So who controls your emotions today? It's a good question, isn't it? Who controls your emotions today? Is it you or is it someone else? See, meek people are self-controlled. They control their reactions toward life and life's hurts in and through the power of God. Lord, I need your help with this today. See, when Jesus quoted this beatitude, he's quoting from what it says in Psalms in chapter 37, verse 11, and it says this, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Can I tell you that meekness brings peace to us? Meekness brings peace to our heart. It brings peace to our soul. Meekness allows its possessor to be content with whatever they have. It's such a spirit of meekness that the Apostle Paul spoke about in Philippians 4:11 when he said this, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full or to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Friends, here's what I know. Everything that we talked about this morning, we can't do it on our own. We have to have the Lord's help. We have to have the Lord's help. So let's finish this up. So how do we finish this understanding what it means to be meek? Here's what it is. It means that you this morning are the ones that control your emotions, not anybody else. It means that you control the situation. You're not controlled by it. It means that you're no longer the victim. It's as if Jesus is saying this, "Blessed are those who control their reactions, who are not demanding or judgmental, but are teachable and have their emotions under control no matter what the situation may be." See, the Bible says that God doesn't make us timid. He has not given us a spirit of fear, or in one version it says a spirit of timidity. He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. So the secret to meekness this morning is allowing the Holy Spirit to fill our lives completely. A verse that will help us to keep this overall attitude of meekness is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, and it says this, that we should clothe ourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. So let me conclude by saying this. Who are the meek people? They're the people who are gentle, not judgmental. They are tender without surrendering their right to what's true. They're teachable, not unreachable. And they'll take the initiative and forgive rather than retaliate. And can I just tell you this morning that without God's help, we can't do any of that. We can't do any of it. It's impossible. So that's why we need every day to listen to the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. And friends, can I just tell you that many times as we're walking down the road of life, on this journey of life, the Holy Spirit speaks. And hear me this morning. The Holy Spirit will speak, and he wants us to obey him. He wants us to make the corrections that he's asking us to do. Here's what I know about life, that if somebody asks for your help, and then you're trying to help them, and they don't do what you're asking them, or they don't do what you're encouraging them to do, can I just tell you that pretty soon, you're not going to be talking to them anymore. Here's why, because you'll say, I'm not going to do that. It's just a waste of my time. They're not listening to what I'm saying anyways. It's true, isn't it? Now, I want you to think about the Lord. Because sometimes people say, you know what? I don't hear God's Spirit speaking into my heart. And I want to ask you the question, have you been paying attention to his voice? Because if you're not, maybe that's why he's not speaking. People have said, where's God? And I always tell them this, he's right where you walked away from him at. He's waiting for you right there. And friends, it's true for all of us. So I want to encourage you today, listen to him. Make the corrections that he's asking to make in your life. Be meek. Let your own heart know today that God's in control of your life, that God is dealing and helping you in every step that you're taking. He never leaves us, he never forsakes us, and he's always there to help us. That's why in Hebrews it says that we can come boldly to his throne of grace and there find help and mercy in our time of need. We need him. We need him. So Jesus, help us today. Lord, I'm so thankful for the precious people that are in this room today. God, I'm so thankful that, Lord, that you're here with us. And Lord Jesus, I just pray today that, Lord, that you will help us to take these things. Lord Jesus, and I know as Pastor Jeremy preaches at the end of his message, he always gives homework. And God, I just pray this week that, Lord, that we would take these points and, Lord, that we would ask ourselves these tough questions. Lord, who's in control of my emotions? Am I in control or am I letting somebody else control me? God, and I pray that, Lord Jesus, that we would be gentle, not judgmental. God, that we would walk with a spirit, Lord Jesus, that is tender and sensitive toward you. That, Lord, that we would be listeners, that we'd have our hearts open to you, and that, God, that we would be led by you each and every day. And, Lord, I thank you for it. So, Lord, we praise you this morning for your love for us. And we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you're a good, good Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're with us today. So, Lord, I'm asking this morning, Lord, that our hearts today would receive your word, that, Lord,